Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike, let's go. Hour four of the program. It's been another great night. This show has been filled with guests because All-Star Week is guest week. I bring in my favorite people. Sometimes there's people I don't know. I like to talk with them and see what they're all about. And it ends up being a good experience. Like, I had never met Taylor Rooks. And I had her in for the first half hour of the show. And it was incredible. So hopefully, before she gets too popular, because she's already very popular, she will come back. You know how popular Taylor Rooks is?
How popular?
She's so popular that there are rumors about her dating Jesse Williams.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how popular she is.
There are no rumors about me dating anybody, but I'm married, so.
I mean, we can start one. Pick someone you want. Let's do that.
All right, texters, send it in.
Who should we start a rumor that Maggie Hendricks is dating, even though she's been happily married for a little while now?
Jody Davis.
Not Jody Davis.
Jody Davis is the man I love, though. Pete knows I would leave him in a second for Jody Davis. I love Jody Davis forever.
Maggie Hendricks, Julie DeCaro. They do the Julie and Maggie show. Julie's actually going to be on the air after I'm done tonight doing her solo thing. So she's in like a band, but she also does her solo thing.
Solo thing open for the band. But this, it's reversed.
Yeah, this today, the band is kind of opening, and I get to be part of the band today. Like, I get to, like, be a guest.
Are we Destiny's Child?
Are you about to claim Beyonce?
No, we're TLC.
I'm better with that. I'm better
T-Boz.
Oh, I wanted to be T-Boz.
You can't be T-Boz.
I'm totally Chili. So you're left eye.
Cover
one eye. You can't do the rest of the show this way.
I won't go chasing waterfalls.
Lawrence, burn down the house. He burned down the house.
Turn on Channel 5. Lawrence, burn down the house.
So my wife just finished Brett Favre's book, and she says that there is all sorts of stuff about that.
Oh, really?
Yes, because of how close Brett Favre and Andre Rison were.
Oh.
So it's in the Gunslinger book.
Yeah.
It's all in there.
Well, now I'm going to have to read this stupid thing.
Yeah, you probably are.
Dang it.
I love you guys. I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be here.
I didn't know that your headphones were bedazzled. And I should have known that because you are Miss Arts and Crafts.
Julie was proud when I brought them in and showed her. She was very proud of me.
Well, I go into Michael's and it's immediately clear that I don't belong there. And I have no idea what I'm doing.
Why?
Because I hate arts. I mean, no, I don't hate arts and crafts once they're done. I hate doing them. And I go into Michael's because I need one thing. And there's like 50,000 aisles of like pipe cleaners. And I mean, they have like a whole aisle of pipe cleaners. I can't find anything.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, no. Have you ever been in Michael's?
No.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's an experience.
And here's the thing. When I'm walking through Michael's, because clearly I know what I'm doing there.
Are you like
a nerd,
Norm at Cheers? Like you walk in and like, Maggie!
Not at Michael's, but at a few different fabric stores. That does happen. But no, when I'm at Michael's, if I see somebody who has that deer in the headlights look, I'm like, you okay? You need help? Where do you need me to direct you to? Like I act as de facto staff because, you know, I love people who have that deer in the headlights thing, so I'd want Julie to have a me somewhere in her Naperville Michaels.
When I was in college, I was an RA. In fact, I was Lourdes Duarte's RA
sure.
in college. And I was so bad at doing door decks and stuff. Because, you know, you're like, oh, you know, and that's what RAs did. And I was like, this is not, I can handle every other part of the job of being an RA. But the door deck thing can't handle.
What is that? Like people's names and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, like, you do decorations for your floor. Your floor has a theme every quarter, you know, because DePaul's on quarters instead of semesters. And I'm not
I'm not cut out for this.
Did you have competitions? Did you ever, was it like that?
Yeah, like you get prizes and stuff from your RD. And
yeah. That was a huge thing at Missouri.
Really?
But I mean, like literally anything that could be turned into a competition and take it over the top was huge at Missouri. Like homecoming at Missouri is like a 6-week affair that is insane. So, I mean, that's everything.
Do you have anything like that going on?
I mean, my RA just took us to a lot of Kappa Alpha Psi parties. She didn't. She wasn't in arts and crafts.
Y'all were going to. Well, I mean, it is the birthplace of KA Psi. You were out there.
She was the president of Delta Sigma Theta. So she used to take us to tons of Kappa Alpha Psi parties.
I pledged Kappa Alpha Psi.
You did?
I did not cross. I dropped line. I got pictures. It's so funny. I ran into my old roommate who crossed. But
what does that mean?
You get your letters, you go over. Like after the pledging process, you cross. So you become a member of the fraternity.
Okay.
So I was online. I was a prospective member of the fraternity. And I was like, nah. Because at that point, the Kappas were on moratorium. And I wasn't going to get my letters. And I talked to my godfather about it. And he was like, no. And he's a member of Kappa Alpha Psi. And he's like, you don't need to go through this.
We just call it initiation.
It's
more involved with
the Black
Greek fraternity.
It's a little bit more.
Yeah,
it sounds
involved.
Like getting made.
In a lot of ways, Jules, it is like that. And there was some stuff. I've seen some things.
Oh boy.
The Black Greek system also is much more for life. The involvement, like, I mean, my sorority always says that, you know, oh, you're always this for life, but like. Women who are, like, I'm sure your RA who was in Delta Sigma Theta still does stuff.
Yes.
Like,
yep. I just get a magazine.
And, like, where's her letters?
Yes.
I guarantee
I'm sure
you.
She does.
Possibly on her car.
Yes, probably on her license plate.
Yeah. And I just get a magazine, like,
she
once
probably
a month.
Married a Black Greek, I would imagine. She probably married a Kappa or an Alpha. Or,
she was awesome. She didn't have time to, like, go to Michael's and cut out stuff. She was one of those people who was involved in every single campus activity in some way. She was amazing.
That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, listen, Julie, what are we going to talk about tonight?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
You said that when we got together, we could do 80s
well,
pop culture stuff.
Ooh, man, I hate that Tony Gill's not here so that we could shame Tony Gill. Oh, well.
Poor Tony. Tony is just missing out. What? Oh, yeah, I am mad at you for the Ant-Man thing.
Okay, I'm out for this.
What did I do?
All right, so I'm sitting here. Look, you are someone whose opinion that I respect and trust. You are a likable person, and I am happy to call you friend and colleague. I sat here listening to you about the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, and I was like, well, Julie never really steers me wrong. She's a good person who knows stuff. I'm sitting there in the Ant-Man movie, furious as hell. I'm like, I can't believe that I did this on Julie's recommendation. Ask White Panther, my wife. Ask her. She'll tell you I was MFing you out walking down 53rd Street talking about this movie. The movie was fine. I have no problem with the movie. I just didn't need it.
But what did you think of the end credits scene?
I knew, and that's one of the things. Like, Mel and I were at dinner. And I said, I already know what the reason for this, like what's important about this. And I guarantee you, I'm going to look at you when it happens. And I'm going to tell you that this, what, and I knew exactly what we were doing. I was like, the quantum realm. Great. Great. And then I just was walking down 53rd Street like mad. So Sunday, Mel was like, are you still mad? I'm like, yeah, I'm mad. Like, I listened to the listeners, and I listened to Julie, and they were all like, go see Ant-Man. And I was like, no, I don't need to see it.
Look, do you know how many bad movies I've had to see? Once you have kids, you have to see every bad movie.
Like what?
The Heffalump movie, the Tigger movie,
did they take
Robots.
You to go, did they
that
take
was
you
terrible.
To go see Skyscraper?
Nobody's going to see Skyscraper.
Folks,
this is the moment when I have no idea what you guys are talking about at all.
Skyscraper with The Rock?
Oh, that's one where he, like, jumps out of a thing onto the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Open
see, I
third.
Thought people would want to see that.
No one. We're getting to a point now where he's doing the most.
Are we done talking about him running for president?
No.
Because that sent me over the edge.
No, we're not done with that. But we're getting to a point now where I understand that The Rock is getting them checks, and I respect it. He is out there
getting
them checks.
I mean, you got to get those checks while you can.
I agree. But we're getting to the point now where people are like, oh, it's another one of those. It's another one of those summer blockbuster movies that The Rock does.
Also, oh. Neve Campbell just shows up out of nowhere. Where's she been for like the last 20 years?
She was in a Mad Men. She was in a Mad Men episode like near the end of the run, but that's really it. She was like on the plane with Don Draper.
No memory of that whatsoever.
Yeah.
All right, so now I've vented and we can continue in our great friendship. So there. But I wanted to share that with you.
I thought you'd enjoy it.
You got like tweet my wife tonight. She'll tell you. Like it wasn't good for you. Like
I didn't think you'd actually see it. What? I didn't think you were going to listen to me.
I listened. What are you talking about?
I would have told you to go see something else.
I want to go see that Mr. Rogers movie, and I still haven't seen it.
I want to go see that really badly.
That's what you said you were going to see.
But I was like, nah, it's Saturday night. There's a late show. I love Julie. She knows stuff. I'm going to go see this Ant-Man and Wasp.
I didn't even like it that much.
Damn it. This is insanity.
Look at, Paul Rudd is like every one of my guy friends. I cannot watch them be superheroes and watch him be a superhero and like think it's cool.
I will say though, Paul Rudd, impressive 8-pack in the movie.
I didn't notice.
Early on in the movie, like he has been putting in the work. Like goals.
Well,
hashtag
if he wants
goals.
To start making that Rock money. I mean, I don't think being affable, likable dude who's from Kansas, I don't think that makes the same kind of money as the, you know, former football player from the University of Miami. So I think he's just saying, oh, I want that Rock money and starts doing them crunches.
See, I think that it's more of, let me get this money. Let me get this Avengers money so I can go do other stuff. With The Rock, it's like, this is a great idea. He said that this movie was his homage to Bruce Willis and Die Hard. And as soon as he said it, I was like,
yeah, you can't say stuff like that. See, that's stuff you keep in your head. Like, that's what you like when you're like, what's my motivation? Oh, Bruce Willis and Die. Like, but you keep that in your head.
That also should have been an homage to Towering Inferno something like.
He also said that. He said that this is a combination of Towering Inferno and Die Hard.
Whatever. You know what I can't wait to see? Ready for it?
Ant-Man
the Meg.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Jason Statham, giant shark. I'm going to be first in line for that movie.
What?
I'm going to be there at 10 a.m.
Have you been
row.
Watching Shark Week this week?
Yes.
Oh, it's Shark Week this week?
It's Shark. It's not just guest week. It's Shark Week. So now you need to figure out a way to combine the two and have sharks eat your guests.
Is it Shark Week?
It's Nat Geo Shark.
Yeah, no, I thought it was.
Because Shark Week's on Discovery, right?
Yeah, and it's usually during training camp. Like, that would be the thing where I'd be down in Bourbonnais watching Shark Week after Bears practice because there's nothing to do down there in Bourbonnais.
Yeah, I'm not too sad. Nobody's sending me down there.
Let us know.
Yeah, I really thought it was.
Yeah, is it actual Shark
Week?
Or is it?
I swear I thought it was this week.
Well, here's the thing. It was Dr. Pohl being all excited about it, and he's on Nat Geo. Right? Dr. Pohl's not on Discovery.
I don't know. Oh, I
know way too
sharks.
Much about this. I watch
Apparently,
way too many science shows.
Are there multiple Shark Weeks?
There are multiple Shark Weeks. There's a National Geographic one, but Shark Week is the... It starts... Wait, internet, help me.
Shark Week is this Sunday on Discovery. That's what I thought. It was usually like the week of training camp starting.
Yeah.
Like actual training camp, not this thing that the Bears are doing because they're playing in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God, this is messing with my head. I'm not ready for the pictures of guys carrying in toilet paper. Like the picture of Roberto Garza carrying in toilet paper is one of my favorite things in the world.
I do like that now the TVs are thinner, though, because it used to be with the tube televisions.
And they'd have like under one arm. And that was the thing that always was like, oh, that's right. You're a gigantic human being, because you would see them with like under one arm the tube TV and the other one like 36 rolls of toilet paper.
You need a lot.
Urlacher walking in with his Xbox.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you do need a toilet paper, because usually on college campuses, we're talking one ply and you need... You know,
I'm too grown for that.
Right. You don't want the thin toilet paper.
Mm-mm.
I agree with you, Mags. Like that is you don't want that.
Mm-mm.
That's some BS.
No, I need my quilted northern. I am specific.
This is why I invited you to it.
Well, you better make sure that people know who's who, because apparently no one can tell our voices apart, which
we
is
sound we, exactly the same.
We cannot figure out.
Well, you know, I did my whole thing about
I know.
Maggie's voice.
Yes. And luckily for you, she hasn't heard it yet.
It's nothing I haven't heard before. You've already told me about.
I love your voice. I have always loved your voice. It's about as, I think that your voice on this radio station is the most Chicago thing ever.
You know, I'm from Melrose Park. What are you going to do?
I mean,
I'm from Melrose Park. What do you want?
I was at the feast this weekend. They were blowing up fireworks. I stopped by Johnny's Beef and got Italian ice. But here's the funniest part. I am not capable of saying Italian ice without like the most Chicago. I can't do it. So it's just Italian ice. Like that's what it is.
Well, I don't think that the two of you sound like each other at all.
Everyone. So we asked on the station the other day, do you guys think we sound alike during the Julie Maggie show? And there's all these guys like, oh, you're both shrill, like whatever. But there were a fair number of people who said, yeah, I can't tell you guys apart.
Okay. Look, if we were looking at, you know how they do like player A and player B, like you have the blind resumes or like team A and team B for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Your blind resumes would look like each other if we did that.
Okay.
Like, let's take, you know, we have two redhead Italian sports writers from the Chicago area. Your blind resumes look alike. The two of you neither look alike, nor do you sound alike.
No. No, not at all.
I don't think so, but I mean, but I also think there's a fair amount of the girl. There's the two girls.
There's the two girls.
Know?
And yeah. And here's the thing. If in your life you don't talk to a lot of women, and there are people, there are men who, if you're in a certain job where there's not a lot of women, you don't have, maybe you're married, but you don't have any female.
You don't talk to your wife.
You don't have daughters, or you don't talk to your wife. It's possible you don't talk to a lot of women. So it is totally possible. Now, that is a choice. Gentlemen out there, that is a choice. However, you like I could see being like, oh yeah, they all sound alike.
Well, this is the thing that I used to run into all the time, whether it was Jonathan or Jason.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't think any of the three of you sound alike.
We sound
at all.
Nothing alike. Nothing. Like I used to think it was weird where people would mistake me for Jay. Like, I'm not on that level
boy.
Of cool.
No, well, like, I was not saying that, but your voices don't sound alike at all.
At all.
Another fun fact, when we were talking about this, when we were doing Crosstalk with Rosenblum and Esposito, Steve Rosenblum, Bruce Levine, and Barry Rosner, people get confused as well. Right, exactly.
So
if you're so all it's, Jewish it's, people it's a sound group. Alike... All black men sound alike and all women sound alike.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's what we're hearing from listeners.
Also, we hear our guests say, like, I'll ask a question. They'll be like, well, Maggie. Or she'll say something. And they're like, okay, Julie, well, here's what I...
And some of them are, I'll just say, score regulars. And they totally have no... Yeah.
See, you're... Okay. Obviously, in the landscape of sports radio, both of your voices are distinctive because women... and it's not something that we see a lot in sports radio.
Especially in Chicago.
Except on this show. but as far as, like, if we did an audio file, like, if we took a wave of the two of your voices,
they
it would look
nothing alike.
Correct.
Well, and here's the thing. Maggie is from Melrose Park. I'm from up on near the Wisconsin border. So it's
and
not
you've
even.
Got, you've got some of that, too.
Yeah.
You know, you got a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. Well, you should hear, as soon as I go up to Minnesota, because I do that thing where I start mimicking the people who are talking to me. So it takes me about 5 seconds to get in northern Minnesota before I'm like North Dakota, order across the border.
And I remember that there was a show that we did that like, you went from like the day after the show to come and came right back and did our show. And you definitely had that going
North
on.
North Dakota thing.
And
That's terrible.
It was adorable. It was amazing. I loved it.
I enjoyed.
Oh, hi.
We went to Minnesota this summer and I was amazed that in their weather, you know how like you have like the weather map?
Yeah.
And Fargo was on the weather map.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. It is super close. It's like right
there.
Over there. And then I started to hear it as we were walking around town. It's like, oh, yeah, the Minnesota thing is kind of like the Fargo thing. Which
oh,
is
it's upper Minnesota. Oh, yeah. It's not even real. I mean, it is North Dakota, but it's upper Minnesota. That's the accent.
I mean, I would think it's like, because that's also how it sounds when you're in the UP or also when you're in like North, when you're up in Door County and you're around locals and you hear them start talking about Brett Favre, you know, like that's
or when you're in Melrose Park.
Or, you know, when you're over in Melrose Park. Hey, guys, how you doing?
This is why I said that you sound like your voice sounds like you are one of the people behind the counter at the diner on Irving Park. And
they just reopened.
And is it because remember on one side it was like a dinner grill?
Uh-huh.
And then on the other side it says diner grill.
Yeah. They just reopened after the fire.
Please tell me that it still says dinner grill on one of the sides.
It does not.
No!
I'm sad. I'm sad to report that it's the diner grill. I know. I was very disappointed.
That is some BS.
But man, they have the best grilled cheeses in the world, especially when you're hungover and need a grilled cheese. FYI, not that I ever am.
Have ever done that?
Not that I've ever been hungover.
Because you know what sports writers are never associated with? Drinking.
No. Alcohol.
Never do that. Never do that.
Not as bad. I mean, I knew so many lawyers that had a bottle of scotch in their bottom drawer.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah.
Did you?
I thought it was a joke. I did not.
So you see that on Law and Order with Jack McCoy.
Right, I was just thinking like Jack McCoy.
No, it's a real thing because there's so much pressure. And no matter what kind of law you're practicing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, with sports writers, it's usually just where can we go have a beer?
It's more social.
And then have a lot of beers.
Yeah.
And watch the sports.
Watch the sports on the television.
Yeah, I remember traveling for a UFC event and being out with a bunch of other writers, and they were talking about how I couldn't hold my alcohol and I probably couldn't keep up with them, which of course then I had to, and yet I was like the rest of that weekend, the rest of those fights weekend, that fight weekend, it was bad.
When was the last time you were blasted?
I feel like it was last summer because I haven't done much this summer because I was, it was when Pete and I were up in Door County. We go up to Door County, Wisconsin. We end up drinking way too much.
Like is it all day? And then at the end of the day, you're like, oh, this is not good.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, that's the thing when you get older is you start drinking earlier. So yeah, we were up in Door County and they have the new Glarus Spotted Cow, which is my favorite beer in the world, but you can only get in Wisconsin a new Glarus beer.
Oh.
So I drank a lot of that because I could only, so I had a lot of cheese curds and beer, and yeah, we were very, 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 very drunk.
Jules, what about you? When's the last time where you were like, man, this was a bad decision?
It's gotta be up at the lake cabin, which is like northern Minnesota, so actually closer to Winnipeg than Minneapolis. Way north of Fargo, north of, yeah. So
I would imagine it's quiet and beautiful there.
It's very beautiful. It's a very loud because everyone's out with their pontoons and their jet skis and everything at all hours. But after you're done with the jet skiing and stuff, for like the last 4 or 5 hours of the night, you just get your cocktail. They call people cocktailers. You get on the boat and you just drive the boat slowly around the lake while you keep drinking.
That's the thing. What's the drink of choice?
I'm mostly a beer drinker, but I like whiskey. I like bourbon. So bourbon with a little bit of Coca-Cola.
Now tell me, now I want you to really like think about this. Doesn't that play exactly into Maggie's voice?
It's amazing.
Maybe Malort would be better.
Oh, God.
No.
Oh, Malort's never better.
You know, the first time I ever had a shot of Malort, I thought this isn't that bad. But then it stays with you and it builds.
And it's back here. It's back like, in your throat.
It's like a spicy dirt.
Yes! That's exactly it. It's a spicy dirt.
What is the fascination with Malort?
I think just because it's connected to Chicago. I think that the only time I've had a Malort shot was when the Cubs won the World Series.
I bet you were feeling no pain that night.
I was walking down Clark, not down by Wrigley, but down up in Andersonville in my neighborhood, walking up to people and asking them permission to hug them because I didn't want to violate their feelings, but then hugging them. I hugged so many people that one guy I hugged goes, Maggie, and it was somebody I used to work with.
Oh, no.
That is how many people I hugged. I hugged everyone. And then the next morning, I woke up and I had an email from Bob Lee in Outside the Line saying, come on our show.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
I was so hungover. I thought I was going to puke on national TV. I did not puke on national TV, but I swear to God, that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do was not puke on national TV in front of Bob Lee.
Jules, were you working when the Cubs won the World Series?
I was not. I was at home.
So how'd you celebrate?
I felt face down on the bed and I didn't talk for like 20 minutes.
Were you crying?
I just laid there. I wasn't really crying. I cried the next day because I came in at 9 a.m. the next day to do updates. And the first thing I said on the air was the Chicago Cubs are World Series champions. And that's the point when I kind of lost it and I kept the audio of it.
It was real.
Yeah, I never had said it out loud until that point. But no, I didn't want to be around people. I was way too nervous. And I just laid there face down on the bed, like just sort of like exhaling, like all those years of trauma just kind of leaving my body.
When the White Sox won, I was on the air here at the Score. We didn't have the White Sox at the time. It was the year before we got the White Sox. And so I was going to do the post, what the Score's version of a post game show. And we were like, well, we'll just stay on the air because it was during that weird time where we didn't have an overnight show, like Les was gone. So we stayed on the air until the morning show came in. So we were on from 10 until 6.
That sounds awesome, wow. Though, like that sounds amazing.
It truly was. 8 hours of radio, taking nothing but phone calls from happy White Sox fans.
Yeah. That's like, when it goes fast.
And so, you know, you're working, like you're in it. And I went home and Mitch was like, okay, I need you to go to the airport. Because at the time, I was still a reporter. He's like, I need you to go to the airport for when the White Sox come back. So we found out, you know, that they were coming in Signature over on 63rd Street. And I went home and I just bawled. Like, I had a little bottle of Vouv that I was waiting to open when the White Sox won it.
Yeah.
And I opened that bottle and I sat in my window and cried and cried and cried because I was so happy about the White Sox. And then, you know, slept for 2 hours and then went out to the airport.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I cried a lot. I know. And then I did at 7 a.m. right when I had to send out, like when I saw the Bob Lee email. There was a story that I'd been writing in my head for, I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, mm-hmm. that I finally got to write. So, like, I remember that feeling so good that I finally got to write about it. And I mean, honestly, what I was writing was a letter to my grandma and letting her know, you know.
And then you sold your grandma out for Nikki Delmonico.
You know what?
We need to take a break.
I'm going to fight you.
Julie and Maggie are here in the building. Guess Week continues after this on The Score. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Julie DeCaro and Maggie Hendricks are my guests, and Julie's apparently cleaning up here in the studio. We have a dry erase board, and someone ran and put up an inside run play with the X's and O's.
It's been there for like 5 days.
Yeah,
it's bothering you.
It's been here since Saturday, so I knew that it's been here for a while.
All right, so what are you gonna put it in its place?
Well, I was gonna draw a transparent cube.
Which, by the way, so when I first started doing the show with Julie, she always had like a pad of paper, and I saw her always saw her writing, and I thought she was taking like notes, and I was like, okay, that's something. Like, I try to learn from her because I'm still very new to this, so I try to learn from Julie as much as I can, and I see her doing it, and then one day I come over, it is all doodles. Like,
well, here's the thing. So I used to doodle through an entire update. Like, I would just sit there and doodle. And then when I was at the other station, Ben Finn for one day comes up, looks behind me and goes, your transparent cubes are terrible. That thing looks like it could just fall over with a slight gust of wind. So now it's like in my head and I'm constantly trying to draw the perfect
cube. You're trying to perfect your cube.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Sometimes I draw grapes too, like a clump, like here.
And there's another geometric design. Don't you do like a triangle one too?
I do like a pyramid sometimes too, like a 3D pyramid.
Yeah.
Julie Escher over here.
By the way, the National League is on the board thanks to one Wilson Contreras.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very nice. Those are nice grapes. It also could maybe be bowling pins from the top.
Mm-mm.
A little bit. At least to the last row.
Are you trying to get in my head about it too? Now I got to draw grapes all the time?
Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. That's my bad. That is my bad.
Just go back to whatever you're talking about.
Can we talk Home Run Derby? Would you like to talk about that?
Yes, I would love to talk about that.
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it last night.
I love the head-to-head thing. I think that makes it more fun and also sets up, they're not even rivalries, but like guys just messing with each other and, you know, and throw it, you know, like elbowing each other and that sort of thing. And then also you see all the other, you see all the support, you know, like seeing all the support things is a lot of fun.
I enjoy watching the clock. I think that that part of it, when they added that in, like, it's good. Like, it's a fun element, and it makes you wonder, like, what other things should baseball?
You know who doesn't know about the clock? Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Poor thing.
But I mean, way too slow.
It's like that sometimes, yeah. Guys don't know. Maybe it was even you who told me that Puig didn't know that you were supposed to bring your own guy to throw to you.
Yeah.
A few years ago.
That wasn't me.
Well, but
that's amazing.
Does that shock you? It doesn't shock me. But how would you know?
And also, it is a different skill to hit a lot of home runs than to hit a lot of home runs. Julie is posing for pictures, by the way. That's
why
I got to
get a better shot. Move the microphone. Keep going, Maggie.
It is a different skill to hit a lot of home runs than it is just to hit a lot of home runs in 3 minutes. Like, that's a lot more difficult. That's a lot more stamina. I just enjoy it more. And the other thing is it was over by 9:15, 9:30 Central Time. And I remember in the past, that thing would drag on and on and on. And that took a lot of the fun out of the home run derby.
I agree. I think that's why the clock is super important to it, that it moves it along. And we know it's probably going to be 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 30 minutes. You're in, you're out, and it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to talk about the cheating?
Go ahead. I figured that you wanted to talk about the cheating because I heard you last night.
Well, I'm just saying that I think the rules were bent a little bit for Bryce Harper because he was the hometown guy.
I think that people don't quite know the rules and they'll just let people do whatever, but I agree. The fact that him and his dad with the Just for Men beard were out there just willy-nilly, just let's just keep going to try to catch up with Schwarbs is definitely a bone of contention that I think that is fair for anyone who wanted Kyle Schwarber to win to make.
Also, last night we were trying to figure out who Bryce Harper's dad looks like. We came down to Matt Patricia.
A little bit.
And jacked up Billy Mays.
Okay.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, I see it. My thing is I don't really like the rule. I think the rule's like, I think you should just get as many home runs. And if you have a pitcher, that then behooves you to bring somebody who can actually throw the ball well.
Well, his father was kind of messing up there early on.
His father's arm was getting tired at the end. You could see that a lot of those balls were dropping. Like, it wasn't
looking good.
Look
how much muscle he's got to move every time he throws.
Yeah, that's true.
He's giant guns.
He's jacked.
So
you should have seen Julie's reaction. Like, when she came in here, it was like, is that Bryce Harper's dad? And like, you're like,
I was talking about the Mickey Callaway moment when I was like, wait a minute, who's that?
Julia's super professional. The one day we had somebody text in or call in and tell us to check out, who was it? The Moroccan World Cup coach. And so I looked him up and was like, okay, I see what you're saying. And Julie was like super professional, and she always is, like, no matter who we are we're talking about, except for one day when Mickey Callaway came on the screen when he was still a bench coach. Julie looks up and goes, who's that?
And pointed, correct?
It's like, who is that coach? So it gave us a good laugh in the early days.
It was fun to see, you know, Schwarber and Baez out there doing their thing and enjoying themselves. And I'm happy that all these guys are getting an opportunity to go be at the All-Star game right now. You need the break. Everyone needs the break with baseball. But how great was this past weekend for the Cubs? The Brewers go to Pittsburgh and say, let's just drop five games. Let's drop all five of these games to the Pirates. And the Cubs are like, hi, we're in first place now by 2.5 games.
Can we go ahead and play San Diego? Thank you.
Yeah, well, we'll take
that.
Thank you. And then you look up and you're like, everything's okay. Like, after all of that, after Yu Darvish being bad and Tyler Chatwood having the yips and guys getting hurt and Chris Bryant's shoulder hurts and I think Anthony Rizzo's back really hurts. After all of that stuff that happened in the first half of the season, the Cubs are 2.5 games up on the Brewers at the break.
I would not have guessed it at this point. Like, if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I would never have guessed this. If you would ask me, like, at the beginning of the season, are the Cubs going to be up 2.5 games by the All-Star break? Yeah, of course. Great. Yu Darvish is going to throw 10 no-hitters. It'll be fantastic. But seeing this is really fun. It takes away some stress We don't get as many angry callers as we did after Cubs games before, but, you know, that's about it.
I think it's a testament to the organization that they've built over there. And honestly, the guys deserve a lot of credit. Joe deserves a lot of credit because they're just this kind of hang loose team. Like they tend to know that everything's going to be fine, and it's everyone else around them that freaks out about it.
I'll feel like everything's fine if Darvish comes back or they get another pitcher. Until that point, I'm uncomfortable.
I get that. I mean, that makes sense. And I've been telling everyone, like, when people are like, oh, he'll be back before the All-Star, everybody's like, no, he won't.
No.
If you see him in August, it's a good thing.
Well, and on Saturday, he said, I could be on the mound by next week. Since then, we've heard nothing.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. And I don't feel good going into the postseason with these three starters.
How worried are you about Lester that he can't maintain this greatness that he's at?
Oh, well, okay. I am a little concerned. However, I came up with a new stat last night. It's called WAP. It's Wily Aged Pitcher Factor.
Okay.
It came out as WAP.
Is that like old man strength?
Yes, exactly. First it was like WAP factor, and I was like, that's not going to play.
No, that's not going to go
so we changed it to WAP factor. So this is someone like John Lester, like Greg Maddux is the standard for WAP factor. His WAP factor is 100. So you can be old and you have no velocity, but you still know how to pitch. And I feel like Lester has a fairly good WAP factor.
So it's got to be like a cage. It's got to be like Danny Duffy. Like Danny Duffy's out there getting people out.
Yeah, or like Jamie Moyer. Jamie Moyer had nothing. He had softball pitches.
He's 47.
And he still got guys out.
Wait, I got to make sure Duffy's
is
old
Rich
enough.
Hill in that?
Oh, yeah.
Rich Hill?
Yeah. Oh, Rich Hill's totally in
just
that.
Just by virtue of the fact that he's still here.
Bartolo Colon.
I don't know where to put him.
He's problematic. Danny Duffy's not old enough. He's 29.
How old is Rich Hill? He seems like one of those guys who could be 45 or 22.
Look, I think Rich Hill's probably like 36 or 37.
When Rich Hill was with the Cubs, one of the guys who used to frequent my blog talked about his I saw terrible things in the war face, which is, I feel like just the fact that he is still pitching gives him a WAP factor.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And he's still got that curveball.
He always has a blister. He loses points for that.
I'm trying to think of there's some other guys that we could put into this. I really like this.
Thank you.
I think this is a fun
just
little
don't ask
thing
me for the
around.
Math because there's no math involved. I just randomly assign numbers to people.
Hey, you know how I feel about math.
I was told there would be no math.
I don't do math.
But here's the thing about it. Do we really understand the math behind war? No.
We do not.
We know what a good war is, but I couldn't tell you the mathematical computation that goes into making up war. I can't tell it.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to put together a bunch of small italics letters, plus, 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 equals WAP factor.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I actually think that you could create this.
Next thing you know, I'm writing for Fangraphs.
Well, I think what you do is you and Chris Komka get together. You tell him your vision and let him figure out the numbers aspect.
And then I
of
take
it.
All the credit.
Well, I just watch Halt
and
Catch
say,
Fire.
I was going to say share the credit.
I just watched Halt and Catch Fire, and that was basically the entire tech industry in the 80s and 90s was like, I have an idea. And then a mathematician was like, I know how to do it. And then there was computers.
Wow. Now yeah. I don't have to watch the series.
Oh, but it's really good. You should watch
it. Now it's over. Now you don't have to watch it at all.
Yeah, Lee Pace is okay to look at.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Not bad? Who's Lee Pace? I'll look.
Oh, he's Brendwheel in The Hobbit.
I love that people are now giving suggestions for WAP. Charlie Huff. Ed Niekro.
Ah.
Back in the day.
Yes.
Yeah. That.
Did Rick Sutcliffe pitch long enough to have it?
See, he got.
Yeah.
He got worse towards the end.
That's true.
Will Jake Arrieta be good enough at the end to have
That's
it?
That's a good question.
We will. So is there like a minimum age or is it more just an eyeball test?
It's an eyeball test and I make up the numbers.
Okay.
And if I don't like someone, like I don't like Bartolo Colon as a person, they're excluded.
Isn't James Shields that?
Ooh.
James Shields, I think, has a high WAP factor.
And I feel like he's climbing.
He lost a lot of points last year. He's going to have a lot of climbing to do.
I mean, but if you look at his numbers this year, let me pull up the James Shields numbers, soon to be Cubs pitcher James Shields. So far this year, James Shields has a 4.43 ERA, and it's been dropping. He's thrown 126 innings. If you look at his pitch count over the last few games, He's been going like 100 plus.
Yeah, but does he go into like three innings or how far does he go?
No, he's been going deep in games so far this year. Let me pull up his game log. All
right, I'm going to try to come up with an actual formula for this.
I'm telling you, give it to a mathematician.
I don't know any mathematicians.
So this is James Shields over the last month. You ready? Actually, let's go. We can go all the way back to June. 7 innings, 103 pitches. 6 innings, 99 pitches. 7 innings, 101 pitches. 6 innings, 103 pitches. 4 2/3 on 99 pitches. 7 innings, 100 pitches. 6 2/3 on 88 pitches. 5 2/3 on 99 pitches. In his last start, he threw 109 pitches in 6 2/3. I think he's a candidate for WAP.
I feel like you're taking over WAP, and now I don't want James Shields on my...
He's 36,
I don't
though.
Want him near my invention.
He's going to be on your team.
No, he's not going to be on my team.
I think what would also factor into his WAP factor is that my favorite story that he told me when I was doing the story on the dads of baseball in Chicago, and he told me his like 13 or 14 year old daughter made him drop her off like a block away because she was embarrassed by her dad. Like all 13 or 14 year old girls are, but you would think being a professional baseball player, you would, you know, get amnesty from that. Nope.
No. Well, tell them the rest of the story though. When someone said, she was talking about, like, you told me the rest of the story.
Oh yeah. Somebody asked her like, isn't your dad a professional baseball? Doesn't he play for the White Sox? And she was like, I guess so. Like she was completely embarrassed.
No,
like,
you said she was like, I don't know what he does for the White
Sox.
Yeah.
That was it. She was like, I don't know. I don't know what it's, I don't know what the position he plays. I guess so.
There were points when it probably wasn't a good idea.
Well, yeah. But
bad. Lots of bad. But now, everything's fine. Everything's
sure.
fine.
I just wonder when she's going to become a Cubs fan. Ooh, Maggie, that's bad.
You mean like when you became a...
I am not a White Sox fan. I lost a game of...
There's a picture
rock,
of you
scissors, paper.
In a White Sox smock.
Fair and square. And so I will not say that I'm a White Sox fan. When they are not playing the Cubs, I want them to do well. When they're playing the Cardinals, I straight up want them to win. So I don't agree with your premise.
All right. There's scuttle that Manny Machado's going to end up on the Dodgers.
Well, last night it was the Phillies.
I feel like the Brewers need to make that, like, I don't know what you're holding out on, and I don't know what you're offering. I feel like the Brewers need to make that move. I think they need that move, and I think they need a pitcher, and they're in the house. But if you don't get Manny Machado, and I think that their lineup is really good, but they've been getting no production out of the shortstop spot all year. When you have to rotate Tyler Saladino in as your starting shortstop, that's not a championship level shortstop.
Sure, they can have Manny Machado for the next 3 months.
Fine.
And then lose him and give up a ton for him.
Fine.
Help yourself.
But they're close. This is when you do it.
They're not that close.
I don't think they're as close as I don't think they're so close that they should empty out the bank.
You know who we should get on the show is Cato Kaelin.
No.
How do we contact him?
On via Twitter.
Cato, or do we just yell into the universe, Cato?
Tweet him. You guys.
I was going to say, are we contact like TMZ or Court TV and they contact him for us?
I mean, I'm sure there's so many ways I can go.
I think this should be a goal for the show this summer is to get Cato Kaelin on.
Just tweet him. He's very active on Twitter during Brewers games, and he is very angry about a lot of stuff.
Well, and then
you may have already been blocked by Cato and not even know.
We'll have him on to talk about baseball, and then I'll spring a bunch of OJ questions on him at the end.
Did he do it?
I mean,
did he? Well, I would just keep saying, did he? Did he?
Cato,
tell us the truth.
Cato.
And
I'll start doing it like a cross examination. Like, so is that a yes or is that a no? Well, let me ask you this. And just keep like firing questions at him.
I
would just be like the hype man to Julie's cross examination. Be like, did he do it now? Maybe we need to do more interviews that way.
Maybe we do.
I have a fantasy of doing an interview with Anthony Anderson and treating it as if he's the character from Hang Time that he played. Like only asking questions that pertain to Hang Time or other characters he played. Like, man, you left the tornadoes and then you were robbing ATMs in Chicago. outside the barber shop.
And then he was a detective. Then he was reformed and he was a detective in New York.
How did you go from robbing ATMs in Chicago to being he, by the way, he played two different detectives
on
Law and Order.
Yeah, he did. That is 100% correct.
And it's like, how did you get back into the police academy after you changed your identity to become Detective Bernard?
Did they find out that you were breaking into ATMs, and then that's why
you had to do it?
And then would you also go into his Blackish character?
Oh, absolutely.
You're like every single one. Yeah.
Like, do every character that he's like, that's my dream.
I think if I were an actor, I would be like, yeah, let's do this. That sounds like a blast.
Like, just do the interview and never ever acknowledge that I'm talking to Anthony Anderson.
Exactly.
Never.
I think that would be so much. I would have fun doing that. But.
So, if what we're reading is true, Manny Machado is now a Dodger.
Oh, they didn't even wait till the end of the All-Star game.
Is he out of the game?
That's going to make Rob happy.
Because I haven't really been paying attention because I've been having so much fun.
Also because it doesn't count anymore.
It never counted.
It did.
But does this mean he has to go over to the National League
yes.
He's
got to
put on a different uniform.
He's got to change his uniform, go over to the National League, and now he plays shortstop for the NL.
There's some poor uniform person
that's just run it. Some equipment manager who's just sewing like crazy.
What has to happen is he has to do it like right before a pitch is thrown. Like not like middle of the inning. Like Machado just kind of walks out of the American League dugout.
No, what's happening is they got the camera on the batter and you see him jog behind in Dodgers uniform.
I want him to go in front. Like I want him to walk across the mound.
I want him to shuffle like Charlie Brown style, like with his head down.
I think that would be great if the game just held up and be like, yeah, Manny Machado is going to head over to the National League dugout here for the last inning. Wait, what?
Because
he's now a Dodger. And then Manny just kind of walks across, waves to everybody. How's it going? I'm now a Dodger. Like he takes off the cap, puts on the new Someone runs out. Like the kids with the Gatorade at the home run derby. One of those kids runs out with a new Dodgers cap for
him. No, you know what? It needs to be full WWE style.
No.
He needs to be on second base and then like take off his jersey and have like a Dodgers t-shirt. And then I don't know exactly
what. Oh my God, no. That's the Dodgers music.
Or he stays in the field with the AL. He switches jerseys and he runs around trying to knock guys over before they can make a play.
I'm loving this.
Yes.
That is the swerve that we need, Jules. That's it
right there.
It's
like really violent Red Rover.
Oh no. Oh my God. That man's got a family.
Is that a Dodger dog in his hand?
That's the Dodgers music. Manny Machado is in the NWO. That's the move.
This is what I want to see. Make it work.
By the way, we just fixed baseball.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, baseball. ERA plus whip
equals time over age?
Total
over age. Yeah, the sigma. Do the sigma.
I was an alpha,
but I can't think of
it.
There we go.
And that turn.
It needs to be as low as possible.
And WAP is what it is.
Julie just did math and it didn't upset me.
Just leave it there too, Jules.
Just
leave it.
No, because someone else
Levine
steal
to talk
it.
About it. I'm inside the clubhouse. Let's
Why not?
Leave it there.
Just leave it. See if it works. I'm all for this. I appreciate you both being here and hanging out.
This was fun.
It was good for us to be together because I thoroughly enjoy both of you all's company. I love your show. I listen every week.
Aww.
I'm a P1 listener to the Julie and Maggie show, usually on Saturdays, sometimes around the Cubs.
Always around the Cubs.
Sometimes.
Cubs come first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last week, my father texted me and said, what time are you guys on? I said, after the Cubs game. He said, Maggie, the Cubs are at 9 o'clock. I said, oh, well, maybe I don't know the exact time I'm
just
on,
close
but
enough.
It's around the Cubs.
So it looks to be that Manny Machado is now a Dodger. So
Doyers.
This will be fun for you.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be fun. You can talk about, you know, how it affects the Cubs if you want. It's All-Star Week, so talk about what you want. I don't care.
I told you, I tried to get Dolph Ziggler in here. He's not here, so we're going to have to make our own fun.
Well, you can make your own fun. Well, I mean, you already drew grapes. You came up with a baseball stat.
It's been a big night for me.
You drew a pretty solid-looking cube.
Thank you. Solid being the key.
I mean, you know, take that, Finfer. Oh, yeah. I should probably read his spot here because we need that. Mike's going to run out of music. This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero. Park smarter. Thanks to Taylor Rooks, Alicia Roman, The Dean Davis Show, Vincent Goodwill, Maggie Hendricks, Julie DeCaro for coming and hanging out. We got another guest show tomorrow. It's going to be fun. On tomorrow's show, Cam Smith's going to be on the show. Shakia Taylor's going to be on the show. My man, Dave Ross and Tyler Jacobs, and hopefully Leon Rogers from WGCI might come and do the 6 o'clock hour with me. And triple dot that I. They don't even say that anymore.
Triple dot that I for the hits.
That's right. They don't even do that anymore, but we might do it tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Julie's show is coming up next here on The Score.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.